From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Suppose a 300-year-old black man had decided, oh, say when he was about 10, to keep a scrapbook, a record of what it was like for himself and his people in these United States. So began the introduction written by Bill Cosby to a book published 35 years ago. It was called The Black Book, and it was indeed like a scrapbook of the African-American experience. Flip through the pages, and you'd find advertisements for the public sale of Negroes and Piccaninny Children and advertisements for spool cotton and sunlight soap. You'd also find families dressed in their Sunday finest and soldiers who helped break the color barrier in the U.S. military. The book was the first of its kind, a breakthrough and a New York Times bestseller, and now it's been republished in a 35th anniversary edition. Toni Morrison helped compile the original Black Book, and she joins us now to talk about the reissue. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Let's put this in context, because this was 1974. This was before the TV miniseries Roots.
Yes.
This was before the age of Google. These were images that weren't in history books. They were not widely available to people.
Not at all. That's why the authors are these collectors. The head man, who was Spike Harris, Middleton A. Harris, was a collector. And I would go into his apartment, stacks and stacks of newspapers, 19th century newspapers, buttons from all sorts of causes, and just memorabilia everywhere.
Toward the beginning of the book, some of the pictures are really gruesome. The men hanging from trees, the charred body of a man. And in that picture, as disturbing as the picture of a man burning is, what's even more jarring is the picture of the men in the background, white men with straw hats who are smiling or looking on in a rather nonchalant fashion. Was there any debate over whether or not to include images like this in the book?
No, I had complete control. I don't think
why was it necessary for people to see this?
Well, lynchings were not merely punishments, whether accurate or, you know, deserved. Most of them were not. But there were carnival aspects to it. People gathered around to see. They sold tickets. They brought their children, and they had picnics. It was not entirely unlike what went on with hangings in Europe and in other countries. But the fact of the matter is that this was not understood to be, you know, in addition to the law, which was arbitrary and passionate, it was also festive. But these were human beings. And so many of those kinds of deaths were not just unjust, often stories of some crime or infringement were circulated about Negroes who had property or who had jobs that local whites wanted. I know that my father's little village in Georgia had two such lynchings that he witnessed as a young boy, and they were both men who were lynched because they had a little store or job that someone locally wanted.
Hmm. When you were putting this together, you were an editor at Random House back then.
Mm-hmm.
Did Random House know what you were cooking up here?
Yeah. They knew some things. They knew what I wanted to do. They thought it was a good idea. I had heard from the sales department that it was difficult. I was interested in publishing unknown African-American writers, and they weren't selling very well. And I was told that it was very difficult to sell African-American authors, as they put it, across the street, meaning there was a kind of readership that was not large in the black community. So I thought, well, maybe we haven't published anything that the large African-American community wanted. Maybe not this novel or this collection of poetry, etc., but what about something that's really popular and is about African-American life? And that's when I began to put it together, and I didn't have a manuscript. That was a little it made them uneasy, I think, because it was so manuscript. All I had were these pictures and newspaper clippings and sheet music and postcards. You know, it was like, you know, a jumble. And they didn't quite know.
But it does flow one into the other. They really do tell a story.
Yeah, we put together very, very nicely.
I want to ask you about the patents. There's a large section of very detailed drawings. These are patents from African-American inventors, I guess, at the time, though they wouldn't be calling them African-American, would they?
Not then, no.
The parlance, I guess, would be Negro
inventors.
And they're patents for a clothes dryer and an airship and a fountain pen and the improvement in sugar making and a typewriting machine. And there's several pages of this. Yeah. Why was that important?
To show that African-Americans were, you know, busy, smart, and not just, you know, menstrualized. I remember my mother used to say, do you know that a Negro invented shoes? And I said, Mama, everybody invented shoes. How could you not think up how to cover your feet? But when I was doing this book, I saw a shoe lasting machine. You know how to...
I'm actually looking at it right now. Right. I think it's on page 116, if that's what you're talking about.
Yes, yeah. Yes, there it is. And so she was sort of right. She said shoes, but she meant, you know, something to make it possible, you know, to get the sole and the heel and so on, mechanized and so on. That was fascinating to me.
You include in the 35th anniversary edition a letter written by a prison inmate. Why don't you tell me about that?
I used to get letters from prisoners who wanted books or freedom or money or clothes. But this one was quite different. My recollection is exactly this. Dear Mrs. Morrison, someone sent me a copy of the Black Book. And if at all possible, I would like to have two more. I need one copy to give to a friend, another to throw against the wall, over and over and over. The one I already own, I want to hold in my arms against my heart.
Well, there it is. That sums up so many of the reactions you have when you read this book. Because there are moments where your stomach churns, and there are moments where the book just shimmers with pride. And there are things that make you want to holler.
True.
Toni Morrison, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. I could go on all day.
Thank you.
That's writer and Nobel laureate Toni Morrison. She compiled the Black Book as an editor at Random House. It's just been re-released to mark its 35th anniversary.